Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus. Amen. I'd like to begin today with you in John chapter 15, some fantastic verses beginning at verse 13. Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Today I'd like to talk with you about being friends with God, because Jesus calls us friends. The word in the Greek is philos, friend or companion. Do you think about yourself having a friendship with God? Well, what's it like to be friends with God? And can we be sure of that friendship in all circumstances? I think this is important because if you are certain of your friendship with God, you can do all things. You can conquer the world if you know God is your friend and sure about that. But if you doubt that and if you're not too certain about that friendship, you can do nothing. We're lost. And I think sometimes we're not so sure or certain about our friendship with God. We're shaken and troubled by certain doubts that we have. And sometimes when we read certain scripture verses, we tend to doubt our relationship with God. Such as a verse like this in Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus says, "You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." And we hear that and we go, "Oh no, I look in the mirror and I know I'm definitely not perfect. Is my friendship with God now in jeopardy? Is he going to cast me off because I'm not yet perfect in all things? Oh my goodness, I still wrestle with sin. I even occasionally slip into sin." And we all as Christians strive for perfection, to do all things in righteousness, but we also, all of us, let's admit it, fail at times. And James says in his letter, we all make many mistakes. But the question is, will God still be my friend, faithful and true, even though I still have many faults and problems and sins and weaknesses? So let's talk about that today. What is friendship with God really like? And does God want us to have confidence in that, even though we are all still yet not perfect? Because if you can have this friendship, though you are not yet perfect, you will be all the way more on the way to perfection with the fruits of righteousness. So what encouraging word does God give us today then about friendship with God through Jesus Christ? Well, the first thing he says is that once you were not friends of God, but rather enemies. This is true of all of us. You could look at 1,000 scripture verses to show this. I'll just give you one. Isaiah 59, God says, Isaiah says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear dull that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, so that he does not hear." That doesn't sound like a friendship going on there, right? He's not hearing your calling, and you're living in sin. Once you were enemies of God and not friends of his. For how can we say we're friends with him if we don't love him, if we don't want him, if we don't do what pleases him, but we do the opposite? That's the description of an enemy rather than a friend. And we were all enemies of God, fighting against him, denying him with a stubborn and evil heart. And the amazing thing, though, is that God still came to love us and make us his friends through Jesus Christ. We can read that in the baptism of our Lord, which we're celebrating today in this day in the church year where we remember Jesus' baptism. What do we read there in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 and following? It says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answered him, let it be so for now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness. Why was Jesus baptized? Why did he have to be baptized? Did he have any sins to be forgiven? No. And that's why John was like, oh, wait a second, Lord. You shouldn't come to me to be baptized. You don't have any need of this. I should be baptized by you. But Jesus says, no, let it be so for now. Why then was Jesus baptized? Well, a number of reasons. Mark, the start of his ministry, his anointing with the Holy Spirit, the Father's confirmation from heaven. But it was also for another reason, to identify himself with us publicans and sinners. Just as in our baptisms, we're identified with God and his righteousness, so in his baptism, Christ was identifying with those he came to save. And he came for sinners, to make them into friends. Isn't this what we hear? Wonderful words about our Lord during his ministry? Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all coming, drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, look, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And in Matthew 11, Jesus says, John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Isn't this a great word for you, for your encouragement today? That God is a friend of even tax collectors and sinners? How then do we become friends of God? Let's go back to John chapter 15, where Jesus is calling us friends. He says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And watch this, verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So how does God make us his friends? Because you're such a goody-goody? Because you were just such a nice guy that he said, oh, I want that person for my friend? You did not choose me, but I chose you. How do you become friends of God? Because of God's choice. He simply says, I elect and decide to make you, Bill, my friend. To make you, Bob, my friend. To make you, Greg, my friend. To make you, Luxanne, you shall be my friend. He declares it so. He makes us so by grace. Luther says it this way. Christ says, formerly you were enemies, but now you are friends. Why? Because I regard you as friends. In a word, you did not make yourselves my friends, but I turned you, who by nature were friends of the devil, from enemies into friends. I sacrifice my body and life for you, and you are precious friends to me, earned and purchased through my blood, and you shall have everything through me. Isn't that a wonderful word when you're doubting your relationship with God, that it all started by grace? And guess what? It continues the same way, by grace, because God simply loves you and decided to make you this. And this is why he came. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are reborn, reconciled to God, and then we become the Lord's friends. And God has done this by coming as our friend, even when we are his enemies, to make us his own by his grace and power. And then he gives us a heart to walk with him in friendship. So let's say you are friends of God, which you are, but then you see yourself still wrestling with sin. And you begin to wonder and question, is God going to cast me off? Is he going to throw me away because I'm not being the best and perfect friend for him? Because we hear verses like this, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. And then we get struck with fear. Oh no. Is this friendship something I can rely on even when I'm having a bad day and slip into sin unwittingly, or even wittingly at times. But God says to us at times like those, this morning, sweetly, why don't you consider my friends that I have in the Bible? Just consider some of them. How about Abraham? You know, Abraham was the only Old Testament saint that is literally called friend of God in Scripture. It says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 7, did you not, O God, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And James refers to this in his letter in the New Testament, that Abraham was God's philos, his friend. Well, what kind of man was he? He was a man of faith? Yes. Was he a man who acted faithfully? Yes. Was he perfect? No. Read what happened in Genesis 12. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know you're a beautiful woman in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they'll say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me, but they'll let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with you because of me, me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake. Now, he wasn't totally lying. She was kind of his sister, but he was also telling a half-truth because he was afraid, and he was willing to have another man take her as wife to save his own skin. Does that sound perfect? Does that sound like the kind of husband you want, wives? You know, here, take her. Save me! Save my life! And you'd be like, okay, okay. Boy, what a weirdo. But did God continue his steadfast friendship with Abraham? Yes, he did. Take another guy, David. Was he a man of faith? Yes. Did he act faithfully? He slew the Philistine and did all wonderful works. But he had a bad day, didn't he? He had one really, really bad day where he just messed everything up. Bathsheba, adultery, and then killed her husband, Uriah the Hittite. And God was angry with David. David suffered, but did God continue his friendship with David? Answer is, yes, he did. He most certainly did, and he delivered him from many trials, etc., after that. How about Peter? Peter was definitely a friend of Christ, but he denied knowing him three times. And even after being restored by Jesus, after Pentecost, well into his ministry, he tanked nearly entirely, denying the gospel one day at Antioch because certain men came from James from Jerusalem and he got really afraid. He started to draw back and not hold to the grace of Christ and faith. And Paul had to stand up and rebuke him to his face. But Peter was restored, and did God continue his friendship with Peter? Yes, he did. Take one more, Paul. Paul confessed that in his life, in his Christian life, after being saved, he still wrestled with sin. Romans 7, he says, I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. If that's your experience, say amen. Amen. I say amen. I wrestle with sin. But did God continue his steadfast love with Paul? Absolutely. And Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He did not doubt God's friendship to him. And neither should you. You know, if you have to be perfect in every way in order to maintain your friendship with God, even though we strive to be perfect, who can be a friend of God? Because we all wrestle with sin. In fact, God's friends are the only ones who wrestle with sin. His enemies don't wrestle at all. They just go right along with it. So if you're wrestling with sin, this is an evidence to you. And it troubles you about your sin. This is evidence that you are God's friend. Because the Spirit in you is wrestling against the flesh. That's a good thing. So do not doubt that God is your friend if you are in Christ, having believed in him, and that he is going to be faithful to you. As Irma Bonbeck once said, a friend is someone who thinks you're a good egg even though you're a little cracked. So let's talk then for a few minutes about what friendship with God is really like. Some of the characteristics of it. What do friends do intimate communication. John chapter 15, verse 15, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you." Friends confide in one another, don't they? And Christ considers us such good and precious friends of his that he will reveal to us all that he has heard from the Father. All of his hopes, his plans, his dreams for the future, he pours these out to you and confides them into you. Now, depending on the degree of our friendship with someone, we share stuff with them, right? And the closer you are, the more you share. Well, Christ says, "I've shared everything with you. I've held back nothing. I've brought you into my innermost, deepest confidences and intimacy." And so how about you in your prayers? Confiding in God, pouring out your hopes and dreams, your failures or your successes. And God says in Isaiah 30, "Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teacher will not hide himself anymore, though. But your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' when you turn to the right hand or to the left." Is this characterize how your relationship with God is? That he's there speaking to you, confiding in you, pouring out his heart to you, you pouring out your heart to him? If it's not, okay, this is what God wants, though. So let's develop that kind of trusting relationship. How about this? Also, it means he stands by you and covers up all of your shame and honors you. Sports fans out there, remember Jackie Robinson, the first African-American, the first black man to play in the professional major leagues in baseball? He broke the color barrier, but he faced hostile crowds in every stadium. And while playing one day in his home field of Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, he committed an error, and the fans jeered at him and began to boo him. And he stood at second base, humiliated, while the crowd booed. But then Pee Wee Reese, the shortstop, walked over to him and put his arm around Jackie and faced the whole crowd. And at that, all the booing was silenced and there was a great hush over the whole crowd. And Robinson said later that this arm around his shoulder saved his career. Friends, is that what your friendship with God is like? That he comes over and stands and puts his hand, his shoulder around you to face the whole world and the whole crowd of humanity and saying, "This is my friend. You speak against him, you speak against me." Jesus says in Joshua chapter 1 to Joshua, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage." Can you hear God speak that to you today? Because our friendship with him is secure. Even on the day of judgment, Jesus will put his arm around you and say, "Father, this one is mine." And it also means he's always with us. Once there were two friends who went to war in World War I, and they were inseparable. I think they grew up together. They went through basic training together. They were shipped off together. They fought together side by side in the trenches in Europe. But one time there was such terrible battle that one of the friends was critically wounded. And as the terrain was filled with barbed wire fences, this guy couldn't crawl back to his foxhole. And the entire area was under a withering enemy crossfire. And it was suicidal to try to reach him. But his friend decided to try. And the sergeant holds him back and says, "It's a fool's errand to go out there and save this man. You'll get yourself killed." And he made him stay there. But as soon as the sergeant turned his back a few minutes later, the man was off after his friend. And he crossed the enemy crossfire. And a few minutes later, he came back staggering into the foxhole, mortally wounded himself, bringing his friend in his arms, who was now dead. And the sergeant was angry, but also deeply moved. And he said, "What a waste. He's dead and you're dying. It just wasn't worth it. And with almost his last breath, the dying man said, "Oh yes, it was, Sarge. When I got to him, the only thing he said was, 'I knew you'd come, Jim.'" This is our God. This is the kind of faithfulness he has with you, that he will come for you at all times, no matter what the cost, and even give his life for you as he gave it for us on the cross. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the close of the age. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." How are you going to rejoice in a God who's going to cast you off? You make one mistake and you're out. What kind of friendship is that? And some of you, including myself, get tempted sometimes to think this way about God. How are you ever going to rejoice in him this way? This is a lie of the devil, as you've seen in all the examples of Scripture. God is faithful, and he has called you and elected you to be his friends. And therefore we say, and I'll conclude with this, Psalm 124, "If the Lord had not been our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. But blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We've escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped, because our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen.